Today's Tuesday, January 23rd.
What with the budget crisis and us being in shutdown mode, we've had to eliminate all non-essential personnel.
So that's why Chris is not here. It was between her and the boiler snake, and we have to keep the boiler snake.
We've got to keep the boiler snake. Otherwise, it would be like minus 270 in here. That's probably bad because we're on the moon. Now, just in case you're dense, we have to explain the joke. It's not actually the case. Chris is just out this week. It's fine. Because our Patreon is at a record level. So thank you, Patreon people.
Patreon? Patriarchy? Oh, I smell a conspiracy. Actually, yeah. She's down the hall. She's here.
Yeah. And we're shooting a video later and all that kind of stuff. But it's nuts. So thank you very much. If you're listening to this in podcast form, thank you, Patreon, because they made that possible. Podcast link, I think, is in the footer of the website, in case you haven't found that yet. But, woo! On with the news, if I can find my remote and we can do the rest of this. There we go.
The number pad is also non-essential personnel.
The number pad is on strike until it gets paid. It will be paid eventually. It's just a delay in payment, right? Right there, along with our armed service members. You know, it's not serving the warfighter. Isn't that the DOD's mission this year? It's like, serve the warfighter. Something very bad has happened. Something has gone wrong. I don't know. It's fine. Well, follow-ups. Our first follow-up, you know, the ever-evolving story of Spectre and Meltdown and changes that companies have to make. Actually, our first two or three news stories are follow-ups on that. This is probably going to be in the news for several more weeks. You know, CES is over. The CEO of Intel didn't really say much about the attacks. This is Bloomberg, and the article on Bloomberg is not really that interesting. It's just that Bloomberg is talking about this, and it actually is saying, well, now, wait a minute, Intel has a problem. It needs to act like it, and it addresses, like, the language from Intel where they're like, oh, there is a security issue with these, not, there's a horrible bug in the CPU. It's very important that they spin it the right way.
Well, it's funny that you say probably going to be in the news for the next two or three weeks, because the magnitude of it should be in the news forever, right?
until 2021.
CNN should start every day. It's like a quick reminder: Intel ruined computing.
Tread lightly with your computer, like literally every day until 2021, because it's going to take that long to get fixed silicon.
Now, it's interesting. The one interesting thing about this article is just editorial, but the one interesting thing I saw is that they talk about how the normal computing, you know, however you define that, day to day desktop computing, not hugely impacted, which is true, but the automated trading solutions, 4%, 3-4%.
Wow.
Now, in the HFT world,
that is huge.
3-4%, they'll spend billions of dollars getting 1% of an advantage. Now, I guess it kind of affects everybody, so it sort of sets the whole thing back. But if you can get AMD and squeeze out 2-3% in high frequency trading, you're going to do that.
At least one organization that I know against my advice is now running all of their stuff in AWS as root because it avoids the context switch between normal users and the administrative user. And it's like, that seems extra mega dangerous, guys. And it's exactly for those kinds of reasons.
Got to pick up those pennies in front of the steamroller, man.
I've also got to say that on the news, I don't actually have to say that, but it makes me feel better because when the eventual lawsuit, because the Ukrainians break in or whatever, it's like, well, no, he told us, and it's like, no, he didn't tell us, and it's like, I can refer back to here and be like, oh, you know, I totally told you, that would happen. It's so bad that Red Hat has actually recalled their patches. And so this is something that we pointed to earlier, which is there is a difference. You know, yes, Intel and AMD have both needed patches for this, but this is really to do with Intel. Intel has fumbled their update three different ways now.
Yeah, and so it's to do with the various levels, and the one level really needs firmware patching. They've tried to build software to get around it, and the result is reboots.
Yes.
Lots of reboots. Or, in the Red Hat case, just not booting.
Yeah.
So,
oops.
They're trying to protect people because they know people aren't going to update their firmware. What percentage do you think? 10?
No,
less?
Not even. It's going to be...
It's not numerically significant.
Yeah.
So, they're like, okay, let's protect people, but it seems like that's... It might be doable, but they've had how many weeks to work on it?
Yeah.
You know, this is a month-long months long problem. So, now,
how many IT people in groups that are on top of their IT have already updated and patched and now find themselves in a situation where there are yet more patches and updates? On the Windows side of the world, you have to run a utility to find out if the updates have even been enabled. And there's more than one because there's more than one class of vulnerability. And there's also reports that the specific fixes from Intel, in addition to being buggy, just fix the specific example code and don't actually fix the class of problem. And so there are, you know, there was an announcement that there's a new vulnerability and they've got a new catchy name for that. And it's the same kind of vulnerability, but it's just not addressed in the microcode update. Google has another update that goes a different way that they're proposing that Intel adopt, which is on paper, at least for Google's specific workloads, is much more efficient. So a lot of analysts are saying that it's not going to be necessary to recall chips and we can fix this in software and that kind of thing. But I got to wonder what Intel knows that Google doesn't know, because there's things like undocumented instructions and all sorts of stuff like that. And so I feel like that Intel probably wouldn't have glossed over something that, Google themselves found and suggested for a fix. And maybe it's down to undocumented instructions or other stuff. Maybe the rabbit hole goes deeper here. I feel like Intel owes its shareholders a full disclosure, even for any undocumented side effects of this that they're aware of. So this is definitely going to be something in the news cycle for a long, long time.
I can't wait. You know how every time there's an earthquake or like Equifax or something like that, you always get somebody tries to tally up the cost in work hours and lost productivity. I can't wait till somebody comes up with a number for this. It's going to be massive.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, or companies could just elect not to patch or run their stuff in as a root user. And
But you pay eventually. So
you pay eventually when there's an Equifax-style breach and your business is shut down.
And you know the next time there's a breach, fingers are going to get pointed at Intel, probably for the next 20 breaches.
Yeah, yeah. It's like we had no idea that this was a thing. So there you go. This would have been great for the intelligence community if they'd been on top of this. Maybe they were. I don't know.
It might be really bad for them that it's getting passed.
Something that comes up on the news, not related to this, but that comes up a lot, is the whole Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It's an act that's been terribly abused. There's tons of examples of how this thing has been abused. Well, good news. Our new president, who said this is terrible 6 months ago or a year ago before he was elected even, has just signed it, you know, back into law. He even tweeted about it. He was like, oh, this is the thing they used to spy on me. And then he's like, wait, no, this is not this. We're only using this to spy on foreign people. And it's like,
well, he claims that he has personally guaranteed that he got rid of the loophole that made it dangerous. So it's okay now. But, yeah.
I remain skeptical.
I remain skeptical that they ever stopped. I don't think they ever stopped. Because Obama shut this down. I don't know how much of a shutdown it was. But in the news, it was like, oh, Obama, a champion for privacy. I don't think they ever stopped. And I don't think if this vote would have gone the other way, they would have stopped. So I think it's a normal situation, but a terrible, terrible normal.
You think they'll stop if no one's paying them?
I guarantee they're essential personnel. If you know where the bodies are buried, you're always essential personnel.
With the NSA, and it's like, well, it might be worse, actually, because the only people that would be there are the people that want to be there. So I'm imagining like the nerds that are spying on their ex-girlfriends and stuff because there's no one left to supervise them.
No, the guys, the top guys, they definitely want to be there. Like they're getting off on that level of manipulation and power.
Hope they enjoy my pecan pie recipes.
Your Russian pecan pie recipes.
Well, that's the implication, isn't it? I mean, that's just, I don't know. We would never abuse these powers. Never. They totally would. It's really bad. Since the dawn of time, since J. Edgar Hoover, since even before then. It's kind of nuts. So Apple CEO Tim Cook, this is also a follow-up. You remember last week when we were like, hey, why don't they just give people a button on their iPhone that they can choose the power management thing or not? Well, they're going to add the feature.
I'm surprised. We talked about last week, it's like they'll never do that because
that's the obvious logical thing to do?
Well, but because users will turn that off. They'll be like, I don't want no slow phone. And then their phone will turn off. And then they'll take it to the Apple store, which, I, you know, maybe that's a good situation. Waste Apple's time for making a crap product. You know,
does that actually happen with Android phones? I've only ever had that happen with Android personally when my phone was over 2 years old and my battery was below 10%. It was like 10%. I was like, let me do this thing. And it's like just turns off. And it's like,
no, oh. I got the Nexus 10, which I use as a plugged in e-reader at this point. And yeah, if the if the cord comes out and you open like too many apps all at once, goes right to sleep. It's, I'm done.
But how old is that's what, like 4 years old, four and a half
four,
years old?
Four. It's way more than that. It's practically Stone Age. It's basically an abacus in terms of age. There's but, a, you know.
There have been a couple Android phones that I've used for probably 3 years, and I can't say that I've encountered that except for when my battery was maybe below 10%.
But is 3 years or 4 years or 8 years an acceptable life cycle for an electronic device?
Perhaps we need to not fight via lawsuit and legislation people that replace batteries in devices, because my 2013 Nexus 7, your Nexus 10, perfectly usable if we could easily get the batteries serviced.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the battery that's causing the performance or the upgrades, but you can't do much with it. Except I use it as an e-reader. It takes 3 seconds to turn a page.
That's pretty bad. there's been a lawsuit filed by 22 state attorneys general that seeks to block net neutrality. So this is, I would sort of step away from what the article is describing here and go a little bit more sideline. The sideline here is that, you know, our complaint with Ajit Pai was not just the net neutrality rollback, but the lack of a plan of attack to address the actual real abuses that really did occur, despite some revisionist press releases from the companies involved, to address those going forward. And so I think that the attorneys general are sort of responding to that as well. It's like, well, wait, we've rolled back net neutrality, but did we close the loopholes that were exploited before? Because I don't think we did.
Yeah, and it shows that, well, are the attorney generals the voice of the people? But 22, you know, that's a majority. A majority of the states are saying, no, we want this to not be the case so much that we're willing to sue you. And so I think it's obvious that the America did not want this. And we got it because the corporations wanted it.
Is it unreasonable to just ask for some safeguards? It's like if somebody sells me 50 megabit and 5 gigabytes of traffic that I can use my 50 megabit and 5 gigabytes of traffic. I mean, is that so unreasonable? It just seems, I don't know. There was a story that we were going to include, but it changed, but it's kind of tangentially related. So I'll go off on a tangent for a second here. And that was, there was an article about a guy that wrote an app for the Apple App Store that would figure out if your connection was being throttled, and Apple blocked it. But Apple eventually allowed it. And they said that normally those kind of apps are worthless because they don't actually do anything. But this guy was a researcher. And so he works at a university, and the finding with the app was that all of these communications companies are already throttling traffic. And so on his server, he simulated Netflix traffic, and he simulated Amazon video traffic, and he simulated all kinds of other different traffic. And depending on what the traffic looked like, they already were doing deep packet inspection, and they were already doing throttling. So Netflix was like 5 megabit, and Amazon Video was like 6 megabit. But if it was just like VPN encrypted traffic to his servers, it was 25 megabit over 4G LTE. Same phone, same setup, you know, seconds apart, tests, multiple tests. And so that says that this kind of throttling is already happening. You've also got companies like T-Mobile Binge On, where you can use unlimited Netflix. It's just your Netflix is relegated to like 1.5 or 2 megabit. So that's just frustrating that there's no clear indication to the user that these things are happening. And that's one of the things that the attorneys general are complaining about.
We're arguing about something that we're arguing five branches down the tree. The top branch is you're selling me a service. It's not your business what I do with it. Just send me the data and don't bother it with anything else. Just shut up. Send me the data. Don't look at it.
It's not even like, I mean, I try to think of like postal analogies, and it's not, postal analogies don't even work because it's like, are you receiving contraband? We need to inspect all your packets.
Oh,
and it's
yeah. Like, oh, they x-ray all, everything.
That's already happening.
And they've got some dogs, I think, in some of those distribution centers. So got to protect those people from themselves.
I just don't understand. So India is adding facial authentication to their Aadhaar security. I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm so sorry. I know we've got some viewers in India. We have no idea how to pronounce this.
That's a microaggression.
Now, I'm sorry. I really, legitimately, I'm sorry for being a dumb American. I really am in so many ways. It bothers me on a deeper level, but that's probably a story for a different time.
I don't care.
The fascinating thing with this is like when this was announced, we said it's going to be abused. And there were a lot of people in the comments from India that were like, no, this is a good thing because it's going to help crime and corruption and stuff. Be that as it may, It's going to be abused. We called it. It was exactly right. And so the database has leaked, and somehow, I haven't figured out how, adding facial data to this database is going to prevent it from being stolen again.
And that's going to be like upload a picture. When they started this, they actually had teams that were like climbing around on broke bridges and crossing croc-infested rivers to get to people in the rural places to try and get their thumbprint and, you know, fill out this database. An interesting thing about these thumbprints, a lot of people claim, because it's such an agrarian society and they're like digging with their hands in the dirt 8 hours a day, the thumbprints change because of calluses. And a lot of people, it simply never worked. So, yeah, they're saying add pictures. Scroll back up and show that. Look at this stock photo. It's like a dirty disc and a tangle of wires. I feel like this is a little bit racist. Or do you think this is an actual government office somewhere where they're dealing with this?
How I don't know how you've painted yourself into a microaggression corner.
But anyway, it's ridiculous. You can buy this database online for $8 at this point, and they think adding pictures is going to fix it.
I don't know. This would be like when the FBI was spying on Martin Luther King, that they were like, you know what, we need a blood sample from Dr. King because our spying doesn't go deep enough, and that will prevent us from abusing the thing and also help us figure out if he's a communist. We just need that blood sample. It's that level of non sequitur. I don't understand how the citizenry there is not up in arms over this, because this is not going to help you. This will actually probably make the problem worse.
Well, I mean, we're up in arms about net neutrality. How good is that doing us?
In America, like, if you've ever had to deal with like a bank transaction error, and it's like, there was a retailer that I bought something from, and I used my bank card, and I used my PIN, and the PIN number was stolen because the point of sale system had been compromised. This is like 10 years ago. And the bank would not give me a refund on that point of sale transaction because a PIN was used. And they were like, well, it had to be you because you used your PIN. That is what is going to happen with this database sooner or later. There will be a crime, and then it will be up to you to prove that it wasn't you because the biometric data was used in the transaction. That's the long and short of it. It will happen, I promise you. It's nuts. I don't know why people don't realize that this is if you build it, it will be really extra terrible.
And
it
will be. What I'm telling you is people realize it doesn't matter.
The people realize they're just not angry enough.
Yeah, it's not that the people are backwards and stupid. It's that the government is amazingly corrupt, just like ours.
So the NSA deleted some surveillance data that it pledged to preserve. I remember the story breaking, and I remember us saying the data is going to be deleted, no questions.
So their excuse is, we had this on some magnetic tape drives, but we needed to reduce the bloat of data. And rather than, you know, not collect every piece of data, we decided to recycle those magnetic tape drives.
Yeah. Three different times, 3 different years.
I mean, it boggles the mind.
It really does.
How they get away with these excuses.
Somebody should be in jail over that. It's just,
I mean, think about this. There are entire cities dedicated to collecting data.
Yes.
But somehow they're on the same level of a convenience store that reuses its surveillance tapes every week.
I'm not really sure that there is not any question that this was intentional. It was unintentionally intentional, or it was intentionally intentional, either way.
Well, they actually did a status update a couple of years back. It was like, all right, this data is still cool, right? And yeah, totally. We've got it on those magnetic drives. Everything's good. It'd already been deleted by then. So you wonder if
never going to get that back.
You think they got that email and they're like, oh, I forgot. Go ahead and get rid of the other half of those drives. Yes.
Yeah. The way that I don't know about on the government side of things, but in like when you're dealing with a state, no, I don't know about the federal level, but when you're dealing with a state, the judges are getting kind of wise to this. A lot of judges these days will ask the lawyer, you know, like, who's the director of IT, who's the CTO, you know, who's whoever, who's in charge of this. And so what the judge should have done is said, who's in charge of the backups? And then hauled them before the court and said, okay, you are personally responsible for making sure that these tapes are preserved. And I guarantee you that IT guy would have put them in a milk crate under his desk.
Well, they have the names of these people who signed off on the memos, so they know they don't have the last name. They reported them as like, you know, so and so B or so and so C. So
yeah, this was not the fault of Randy. This was most likely deliberate.
I'll tell you on the federal level why I know that's not going to happen. Equifax.
Because nothing happened in Equifax? Is exactly. that what you said? Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's so frustrating. So Apple's got a new bug. If you send somebody a message that contains a link to a website, it apparently will load the website. And if the website contains a certain thing, it will cause the phone to crash
now,
or the application to crash.
I suppose that's like a preload type caching mechanic. Why would you do that?
Yeah, that seems like a terrible information leak.
So this guy figured out a web page that could cause the phone to just turn off. And he put it on GitHub, and he started texting people or his test devices or whatever every time, shut it down every time. Now, he has since taken down this GitHub. I imagine somebody could have pulled it during that time. But, I mean, loading the contents of a web page from a text message before it's clicked, how are iPhones not all infected with malware at this point?
I don't know. That just doesn't seem... If that's really what's happening here, that's super disturbing. It really is. Because it should not be doing that. Like, that's a security problem first. That's a security problem even before the phone turns off. It should not do that.
Yeah. Well, because how easy is it going to be, once you know that it's going to pre-cache your link in some manner, to just load your malware via that?
I don't know. Speaking of malware, there's a new Android malware that's... Well, it's really an upgraded version of a known malware. And it's SkyGo Free. Now, the really interesting thing in this article is that Kaspersky is the people that found this. It apparently belongs to an Italian company, but it was an Italian company that made surveillance software, and the surveillance software has been weaponized into malware.
Yeah, that's another one of these NSA things where they probably never intended for this to be malware. They were spying on somebody, and they wanted everything. And they found this on, where was it? Who was it that had this? The old version of it. It was some foreign national.
Oh, the Israelis.
Yeah, yeah. So this thing has access to everything. Microphone, pictures,
the remote memory. Shell, no problem.
Yeah, it's got the reverse shell. It's one of the great new features that they were really impressed by is it records audio based on geolocation. So let's say that you wanted to record audio when somebody went to an embassy, for example. Totally doable with this software.
It's smart. It won't fill up its internal storage recording, you know, you at home or you at the bar or whatever. Only in the embassy.
Well, it's nice, you know. It doesn't invade your personal time. It's just corporate espionage. It's not personal, man.
Nothing personal. We're using your phone. That seems like a great tool for intelligence communities, because you could totally, like Randy the janitor again, you could just frame him for terrible, terrible things, because it's like, Randy, you were the only person at this meeting and this information leaked out. You had to do it. And, you know, they're beating on him with the pipe wrench, but it was actually his phone that betrayed him the whole time. That's some spy stuff right there.
Yeah, well, I mean, most major corporations that are worried about leaks, you just don't get your phone during the day.
Speaking of companies worried about leaks, Lenovo has just removed some backdoors that were apparently built in their networking switches. Now, if you go down the rabbit hole on this one, it seems like Lenovo is actually the victim here. There was a Chinese subsidiary or something, and they seem to suggest that one of the major customers of that subsidiary, like a Fortune 500 company apparently, ordered a bunch of these switches. And at their behest, the backdoor was installed.
It was Enos, and then they were purchased by somebody else, and then they were purchased by IBM, and then that got to Lenovo. So this has been there since 2004.
Now, Enos was maintained by Nortel, which is an American, which is a company name that the most IT people should recognize.
So this is not as simple as like a username pass. It's not admin. There are certain conditions that have to be met for you to use this, but it is a backdoor in the sense that there's a hard-coded way to get into every device, but they fixed it.
So. It also looks like Lenovo handled it well, which is good, considering the whole Superfish thing from a couple of years ago.
Well, they didn't know. This was not Lenovo trying to backdoor you. This was Lenovo not knowing what they bought.
So that's what makes it different than Superfish?
Yeah.
I wonder if they installed their own certificates on the switches while they were at it.
Maybe they learned the lesson.
Anybody bought a OnePlus phone from the OnePlus website since last year, last November? I got some bad news for you. About 40,000 of you have been owned for credit card fraud, because there was a script on the OnePlus webpage that was collecting your credit card just before it was submitted to a third-party payment processor.
And they're definitely using them because that's how they figured this out. They sort of, you know, the credit card companies, when they get hit with something like this, they'll start to put the data together. And it was like, oh, everybody affected bought a OnePlus phone. So sure enough, there it was. Now, if you used PayPal, here's a commercial for PayPal. You weren't affected.
No. Interestingly, this for those of you that have to maintain PCI stuff, OnePlus was actually not doing a self-hosted PCI compliance. They were using the third-party PCI compliance where it does a redirect at the last second. But the attackers figured out a way to capture the form data through JavaScript because they had compromised the OnePlus server.
Yeah. They were probably pulling it directly from the fields and not from the form submission. And, you know, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah. Well, when they control the form that you're submitting to, it's kind of, you have to have at least a little bit of security. I mean, come on. It's fine. Amazon has come out with a memo, and the memo was very, very carefully worded, in our opinion. I mean, you should definitely check out the memo, but they won't say if they hand Echo data to the government because we can find at least five or six examples where they have.
In other words, they definitely hand over Echo data. And not just Echo data, but AWS. And I bet this is your shopping history as well. I've been watching a lot of those, like, I can't remember the name of the show, but it's like, you know, how they solve the murder shows on Netflix. Those are really good to have in the background while you play RimWorld. And one of the things that the murder investigations do, they look at your credit card transaction. It's like, oh, you bought duct tape from this hardware store on this day, and they sell this brand. And we looked at the fibers, and that's the brand that was bound, the corpse was bound in. And so I bet a lot of this is like, oh, you went on Amazon and you bought this item and then you killed somebody with it or you used it for a break-in or whatever. And I bet that's a lot of it.
Somebody's been watching too much CSI Amazon Prime Edition. I don't know. You know, a lot of the stories this week, though, I was reading and the only thing I could think of was like the FBI was spying on Martin Luther King forever and under the pretext that they thought he was a communist. And Dr. Martin Luther King did a lot of extramarital stuff. And they documented all of that, recorded all of that, and sent him a letter that was basically like, we're going to release all this to the public unless you commit suicide, which is sort of mind-blowing. And as you know, it's like we did these terrible things under J. Edgar Hoover and you know the FBI since then and the whole civil rights thing. And I'm thinking about, it's like, oh, imagine that FBI with access to the Echo data. Imagine that FBI with access to a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. It's like, we must not build these things.
Well, that's, I mean, what you're talking about, they've never stopped doing that. Because anytime that you get any kind of movement with enough people in it, and the bar, here's the bar. Here's how low the bar is for this. The Juggalos had FBI plants. All right.
I don't know anything about music, but I know that's Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah. So think about that. So, you know, I mean, like the Occupy Wall Street and the, you know, the SJW movements and Antifa and all those, I guarantee they're crawling with FBI agents. All of the Black Panther, the Clive and Bundy, you know, militia type people.
The Northwestern Movement for Reasonable Citizenry.
Whatever it is, the FBI is infiltrating and gathering data. So, yeah, that's nothing new, and I guarantee you they're using this Amazon data for that.
We as citizens pledge for relentless reasonableness in all things. It's like, no, we need a plant in that.
Guarantee there's an agent there, and he's trying to stir up violence. He's like, here's some people being unreasonable. Let's kill them.
Here's some C4 for you. Let's go take. And it's like, yeah, what are you doing, guys? What are you doing?
We must attack the flat earthers.
It sounds like an Always Sunny episode. It really does. I don't know. Speaking of an Always Sunny episode, I can't believe this. People are attacking with pellet guns and things like that the buses that Apple and Google run in Silicon Valley. So the traffic is a little bit of a problem in Silicon Valley. So Apple and Google have their own buses to bus their employees in, which seems like a helpful, nice thing to do for your employees. Yeah, apparently some people have a problem with that.
They don't know exactly what the motivation is, but they presume it's sort of a Luddite type of thing where they're saying, hey, all you rich engineer assholes are driving up the property prices, which is true. The property prices in those places is ridiculous. So their answer is to shoot the windows out of the buses with pellet guns. They haven't caught anybody yet, but they have ruled out that it's actual small arm ammunition. It's definitely some sort of air rifle or throwing rocks or something.
What is wrong with people? Come on, it's not, I don't know.
Well, that's another thing, like, even if you stop those buses from running, do you think that's going to shut down the machine?
Yeah, what does that do?
I mean, that's not a cog in the machine. That's not even an exhaust vent in the machine. It doesn't help.
That's like attacking a rural African village because you don't like the dictator that's running the country.
Yeah. Or just bombing a wedding. Because, oh, wait.
We would never do that. We would never do that. Facebook is going to start writing news sources. Okay, that sounds good. Once its users tell it, oh, that's bad. The users are in charge of the rank.
Well, if you'll recall, let's harken back to Facebook tried to do something about the whole fake news thing.
Now it's up to the users? It's not good.
They marked stories that they didn't like or they felt were fake or whatever with a little tag. And those got way more clicks than everything else. So they've had to trash that idea. And I think they were sitting around a table and it's like, well, they don't trust us. What are we going to do? And this is what they came up with.
This is a problem because, I mean, think about how many people in the world think of rags like The Sun as the paper. I mean, I just, how could this possibly work? Well, I think people have lost the ability to figure out what is and isn't fake at this scale.
Well, I see, but you're getting into dangerous territory there because now you're agreeing with them. I think it's, if it were, of course, we're talking about Facebook users here, so. But if it were just purely used, maybe it would be okay. But what's going to happen is I think Facebook is going to nudge them one way or the other. Mm. And it's going to be like, no, the people have voted, but we think this Washington Post article is really good. You should read it. You know, that type of thing.
Okay, so there's still like guide rails on there. So what you're saying is that like...
But it's a placebo. You think that everybody is saying this, but I think they're still going to manicure it a little bit.
I'm pretty sure that that's straight out of 1984. Like, well, that was a thing that was actually happening
in 1984. I don't think Orwell ever thought, like, the Facebook thing has gone beyond anything he ever dreamed of, really. If we would have showed him that, he would have been like, I'm not writing this book because it's too dangerous. It's being used as an instructional booklet. I must commit suicide to try and prevent this world.
We might be able to bring the world clean energy by harnessing the power of him spinning in his grave.
Maybe. Probably just his bones would just be turned to powder the first day because it was too many RPMs.
I really like that our next story is yet another story from Cheddar Scoop.
I've never heard of Cheddar, but you know they're working hard.
Is Cheddar Scoop available for sale? Maybe now, we could get some of their editors to work for us and help us write stories.
Here's one of the things they brought up about the whole Facebook thing. Like, who's ever heard of Cheddar Scoops, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so Cheddar Scoops, even if they got good news, they're going to suffer from that.
Because, like, the Facebook things are not going to take them seriously. Because
right, yeah.
With a name like Cheddar Scoops, how legit could it possibly be? So this has been reported in several places that Snap, basically what happened is that there were some demographics leaked. I think it was demographics. It was like an internal report inside the company.
It was a new feature first. They had that new thing coming out. I can't remember what it was called.
And then there were stats about something.
But yeah, it was... I think a lot of this comes from the... which we got another story about in a minute, is the Twitter O'Keefe thing. Like, real embarrassing stuff. And they did the same thing to... what was the other place they did that to? Was it Google, I think?
Anyway, you're talking about for the memo?
The American Pravda thing?
Oh, yeah.
So Snap saw that and they're like, oh, let's let the employees know. Well, we should tell people what it is first.
Well, yeah, this is if you read this, the employees were basically threatened up to and including jail time. I mean, and it was very carefully worded. Basically, the company's lawyer wrote a lawyergram to all of the people that were involved that were like, this is confidential information. Do not leak it. We will fire you. We will ruin your career. We will forward everything that happened to the local prosecutors for, you know, filing charges. If we can get criminal charges against you to stick, we totally will. And criminal charges could come with jail time. And it was, you know, it doesn't make sense for you to send a letter to somebody that's like, I'm going to threaten you with jail time, because prosecutors generally will not, like, it doesn't work that way. Prosecutors generally won't take it up if you do that, because you're trying to coerce somebody. If somebody has broken the law, it's up to the local prosecutor to prosecute that. And You don't threaten somebody by saying, I'm going to send you to jail. And this was very carefully worded not to say that, but to say that your actions could carry criminal liability.
Well, it would probably be a really bad PR move to actually do this. I think this is all about just fear-mongering.
Yes.
It's like, you know, we got to let them know that they cannot leak this information. Because with the, well, we'll talk about the Twitter thing later, but those people, they weren't leaking maliciously.
It was just, hey!
What James O'Keefe does, and this is like, they trash him for this, but hey, it works. He gets pretty girls, and he sends them to a bar or whatever to hang out with these lonely engineers, and they tell them everything. They tell them all the dirty secrets because they think it makes them seem cool and powerful. It's like, oh yeah, I can read all the DMs. Yeah, absolutely. I have access to the database.
I invented this cool quantum computer. Isn't that amazing?
Well, no, they don't say it like that. They're like, yeah, I invented the, we block all those tweets. Yeah, if it's Trump related, yeah, we just block it. Yeah, I do that. That's me. Because the girls pretend to be lefties and just, you know, lead them by the nose.
Wow. That doesn't seem, I mean, I don't know. You asked for that situation, I guess, probably. I don't know. Amazon is raising the price of Prime monthly memberships by nearly 20%. This is kind of surprising. It makes sense because people are using the crap out of it, but it also, I think, is going to be a massive amount of profit for Amazon.
Well, I think probably what people are doing, because this is what I find that I save money with the year long, because it's, you know,
I definitely do.
$8 or $9 a month, and you save money. Yeah. If you buy a lot of crap from Amazon, which I do, you save money. Plus, you get the video. I watch the video sometimes. It's sort of like, you know, the Netflix B-team TV shows and stuff. But hey, some of them, they got the HBO stuff. But I think what they figured out is people were buying this and then buying a ton of crap and then letting it go for a couple months and not buying anything and then buying it again and getting another huge ton of crap.
Nice.
So yeah. $2 more. It was $10.99. Now it's going to be $12.99.
Not a big deal. Although I think that that'll improve their own profit margins, probably.
You know, what's interesting, there's the student version, which is half, and then there's the government assistance version. I don't know how you, like, what government assistant, but I guess it's like Social Security.
Yeah.
And that's $8.99.
I did not realize they had a separate program for that.
Yeah, they do.
Wow. Well, I mean, if you're a senior, it's like you can get groceries delivered right to your house. I mean, why would you ever leave?
I don't think Prime, isn't the grocery always $5 for everybody?
Yeah.
So Prime wouldn't help you with that.
Well, you get more than just groceries.
You could get your diabetic testing supplies.
Oh, PUBG. If you follow us, you know that we play a lot of PUBG. It has a cheating problem. And especially in China, it's also popular. It's really, really popular in China. But the people that are cheating in China have been arrested, some of them, about 120 or so. And they're also banning people for cheating left and right.
So Tencent, the giant Chinese company that makes all the ripoff games. I did not know this, but they've acquired the Chinese rights to PUBG. Now, if you play PUBG on the North American server, there's a lot of Chinese people on there right now. Tencent is planning on launching new servers in China, which may, hopefully that'll alleviate that. I don't know. And they are actively going after these cheaters. And it's a big deal. There's like police dedicated to this in China, tracking down online cheaters, which is we talked about. Remember the Fortnite,
which
the other battle royale game. There was a kid, and I think he got sued.
They pressed charges, yeah.
Yeah, and the mom was like supporting him and stuff. But in China, they will lock you up for cheating at video games, which is that's another weird Orwell thing.
Yeah.
It's like if we told him about it, I don't think he could compute it.
They're doing what now? It's like, yeah, they'll arrest you for manipulating some ones and zeros in a game.
They talk about in this article how the sales of PUBG are still skyrocketing, but the player base is flat at this point. And they sort of think that the cheaters are slowly driving away the user base, which could be catastrophic for a game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they've already made just a mint on the game, so maybe it just doesn't matter.
Well, you think when a company that's a $100 billion company.
Yeah, I mean, immediately, probably.
They're on board. You know, the creators of this game they're probably like new lottery winners. They're going to make some real bad monetary decisions and be making a new game. They're going to be hungry again in a couple of years, which is great.
We need to get a camera crew following around those guys. That'll be the most popular series on YouTube.
How much money will we have to offer them for that Like, they don't need the money, so we can't invade their privacy.
Maybe just the thrill of becoming, you know, internet celebrities would be enough. It's like, hey, let's let a camera crew follow you guys around. Just, you know, how are you guys living it up? I think they did that. There's a Notch did that for a couple of videos, I think. And I don't know if they ever, like, I think he ultimately was like, no, we're not going to do this because it makes me seem terrible.
I can't see him being super interesting.
He bought a really fancy house. I remember that was one of the things.
I mean, if you have $1 billion, you should buy a fancy house, right?
Also in the news this week, it's like the YouTube apocalypse. It's like YouTube has toughened the advertising payment rules. This is, of course, talking about the new requirements where you have to have, 1,000 subs and 4,000 watch hours in the last year. And a lot of small channels are really upset about that, but people have been making videos about this. I really don't see this as a big deal.
Was it a year? It might have been a month.
Was it?
I don't remember, but yeah. So what the excuse is that you get demonetized a lot. You know, we can vouch for that.
Yeah.
You get demonetized a lot these days. And then you request someone to review it. So they're saying, we don't have the manpower to review all these videos for all these little channels. So by eliminating the smaller channels, we're going to put that manpower toward reviewing the videos for the bigger channels. But it's like, is the solution to make the mistake and then throw more people at fixing it? Or should we not be making the mistake, maybe?
Yeah. The other argument is that, you know, for channels that are at that level, it's on the order of maybe $100 a year from advertising revenue. So it's, you know, it's already tanked. Of course, revenues are down dramatically from, you know, even 5-6 years ago. I mean, what a channel that makes $100 a year now, 5 or 6 years ago, probably made $1,000 a year. So a little bit different situation.
They also talk about the top 5%. Of the videos that go into this special program, Google Preferred program, which is all about, you know, like these get the most advertisements, basically turning it into a TV studio, which is.
Yeah. And all of those will be hand reviewed, every one of them. And I think that's more about something that they can tell advertisers. It's like, hey, advertisers, all of our top 5% most popular videos, we will have personally vetted using your own approved checklist. So
now there was another story I did not include because it was on Daily Caller, and you know, Daily Caller, they're fine. They're very, I try not to use, we do use Washington Post every once in a while. I try not to use news sources that are just like in your face, one side or the other. You know, Daily Caller is as right wing as you can get, and there's no, anyway, there was a memo, and they were sort of digging into the memo, and they discovered that there are hundreds of NGOs that are partnered with Google, and some of them are public, like the, Anti-Defamation League and some other like anti-racist type things. And all of these people have the ability to flag these videos.
Interesting.
So, and they don't get paid for it, but of course these are, you know, power brokers. So you got hundreds of little organizations, and if you offend anything that they believe is wrong,
they'll just downvote you from now until the end of time.
Not even a downvote. They can click a button and you're done.
Wow.
And so a lot of people were concerned about that, but we have to bring this up every time, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing it. YouTube can do whatever it wants.
Yeah,
as much as we're victims of it, hey,
it's their platform,
we're using it. So if we really didn't like it, we'd walk away from it, and we don't like it, but we get more out of it than we get punished by it. So here we are.
Could be worse, I guess. Twitter, this is the direct message thing. So Twitter has hit back against the claim that its employees monitor direct messages. So this is just them saying that, no, it's not like it was the guy saying in the video.
Well, they don't quite say that. What they say is those people were speaking personally and were not representing Twitter as a whole. And we only cooperate with law enforcement when we are supposed to do that, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, if you should watch those videos. Again, they did one about Facebook and they found a guy who was claiming all this crap about Facebook, and his uncle ran something in the NSA and he was the liaison to that. And Facebook proved this guy was just lying. He was trying to get laid and he was just making crap up. So, you know, people, especially desperate, lonely engineers, I think, will just make stuff up and will say things to try to impress other people. So
turns out
it is their word against Twitter's, but some of that sounded pretty honest to me.
Yeah. Well, I would believe that Twitter's... I mean, we, you know, there was the guy that deleted the president's Twitter account on his way out. Right, yeah. Is it really that unbelievable?
Well, the biggest one about that, if you haven't watched those, is how they use your DMs to shape your advertising profile.
Oh, yeah.
So you might not think about when you're... It's like, oh, this is just a personal communication. No, they're definitely observing all of those and making changes to your advertising profile based on your DMs.
Just like Gmail, reading your emails to build your advertising profile.
Except according to these leakers, the people being spied on, there's a human element to it, unlike Gmail. Of course, Google probably has that too.
maybe no one cares. I don't know. It's fine. World first, Australia, life-saving. There was a drone rescue, basically. People lost at sea, and the drone found them and dropped a flotation device or something like that.
So they claim that it would take about 4 minutes for lifeguards to get to wherever these people were. It was an unexpected swell. So there were swimmers, and there was an unexpected swell, and they got trapped, and they couldn't get out. So 2 minutes it took the drone to get there and drop a little life raft type of situation.
World first for drone saving lives, though.
Yeah,
that's good. Let's not a world first for drones in the use of, you know, like human killing. That was probably like 10 years ago. So it only took us 10 years to go from like the first drone missile strike to like the first drone life-saving event.
Although this will happen, like this will start being a regular thing and it'll save thousands of lives. And then one time it'll drop that raft box straight onto somebody's head and they'll drown. And people will be like, the drones are killing us.
There's going to be an alien civilization that finds this story millennia from now. And it's like one of the hallmarks of the downfall of humanity was that it took them 10 years to go from using a technology for killing to using a technology for saving lives.
Now, the other cool thing about that story is they talk about how if you're in a Coast Guard helicopter and you're spotting for sharks, you have a 5% efficiency rate versus a drone with image recognition. Drones can just spot sharks immediately. So they're actually mapping shark activity with the drones to keep people from swimming with sharks.
How cool would that be? It's like, I got a Google alert on my phone. It's like, Google knows I'm swimming.
While you're swimming.
Yeah. The new phones are waterproof. I mean, that's the hot new feature, right? It's just, I don't know. Google has made it simple for anyone to tap into its image recognition API. So instead of doing this yourself with TensorFlow and machine learning and, you know, the Cyphar 10 database or anything like that, you could just do it in the cloud, which is going to make your application dependent on Google.
You think this one can see gorillas?
No, this one absolutely cannot see gorillas. There's no way. We covered that last week if you're curious. Like, what are we talking about? Google misrecognizes pictures of gorillas sometimes.
On purpose.
It's, well, I mean, you think that would result in demonetization? I mean, I don't.
Anything could. Is there like a gorilla NGO somewhere?
Oh, the Domino's Pizza CEO is on his way out. He's retiring. And he says that your pizzas will probably be delivered by autonomous cars. But interestingly, he said that according to their research, because they've apparently researched it, people really like pizzas made by other people and not robots.
Yeah, well, handmade is the big thing because Domino's figured out they could save a ton of money by not hand making the pizzas, but people wouldn't go for that. And that's why if you go to a Domino's, you can watch them like a Subway. Now, last week we talked about it. We didn't show the picture. Maybe we didn't talk about it, but Pizza Hut has that new, it looks like one of those Airstream RVs. It's just a big silver tube. And that's going to be like a pizza making autonomous delivery. That's what Pizza Hut thinks. So the Domino's CEO is also getting on board saying, yeah, pizza is going to be autonomous. You're going to order a pizza. There's going to be a roving pizza bot car. It's going to show up and give you a pizza.
So, and Domino's thinks that they're still going to make the pizzas by people, but the pizzas could be delivered by robots.
I think they'll probably cook on the way. That'll be the innovation. Because you want a fresh, hot pizza.
That would be a cool innovation.
So
you use the waste engine heat, it totally won't taste like diesel.
It'll be electric. They'll make them. And then they'll pop them in the roving oven, and it'll show up at your door as soon as it's done. So
I don't know how I feel about electric pizzas cooked in the car on the way there. You remember the last generation of plastic MacBooks? When they would get hot, it was a very distinctive smell.
Well, I don't think the ovens will be plastic.
I'm just imagining a pizza that tastes like that smell, and it was just...
That's what the future tastes like.
That is what the future tastes like, because when those were new, it was like, wow, that's a really distinct smell. What is... Oh, that's the future. And now when you handle a 10-year-old MacBook, it's like, this is bad and offensive and really terrible. It's like the heating, the thermal paste, like, evaporating or something. I don't know.
But, so here, I think... There's going to be an opportunity here, right? When this is perfected, to do door-to-door, like, high-pressure pizza sales. You didn't order the pizza, but you get a text message that's like, hey, I'm outside. I got a sausage and a pepperoni here with your name on it. And, you know, because you didn't order it, I'm going to knock $5 off the price.
I think because it works for ice cream trucks, it probably would work for pizza.
I think a lot of people would go for that.
I don't know. I have a feeling that this battle is going to be a little bit like Best Buy versus Circuit City because, you know, they both did their market research. And Best Buy said the people really want brightly lit stores and they want half-height shelves. And, you know, they don't really want to feel like super crowded. And Circuit City was like, people want selection and all kinds of stuff. And so Circuit City became more like a warehouse with like mood lighting, kind of like a Barnes & Noble. And Best Buy became more like the most overlit, you know, shiny half. And Best Buy survived and Circuit City died. So it'll probably be like that.
How do you make your roving pizza bot more inviting?
I don't know.
Maybe put one of those like... barbarians with a half-naked girl at his feet holding a sword paintings on the side of it, right? That's what people want to buy pizza from.
They do. I don't know why this made me think of it, but I have in large cities I have actually seen like the stripper pole buses where like you can board the bus and there are strippers on board the bus and it will take you back to, you know, wherever. So it'll be like that for pizza. Maybe a
stripper's like handles the transaction.
It's beginning, like the future that we're imagining is becoming a little bit too much like Mad Max for my taste. Huh. Here's a job alert. How would you like to learn to babysit robots? So this article, we've said this before, basically a lot of what this article talks about, because it's basically, my takeaway from this was that babysitting robots is basically going to be unskilled, but there's a lot of things that robots can't do in a totally unsupervised way.
Yeah, well, so what this is about is there are companies, which are basically just call centers that have been renovated to do this, where the example they use is they have a hotel robot. And so when you get room service at a hotel, the robot brings it to you and beeps or knocks on the door or whatever, and you get it, and it's all billed to your account. And then they put your tray out. You put your tray out in the hall when you're done with your room service. The robot comes and gets it and clears it out. Well, sometimes the tray is in a position that the robot can't deal with, or you've left a tray directly in front of your door, but the robot needs to make another delivery to your room, and it's blocked. So what happens is it goes to that call center, it sends out a help signal, and someone takes over and drives the robot.
Manually retrieves the tray.
Right. So...
And then they use that data to teach the robot new tricks.
Yeah, that's the job. Now, here's the thing about it. They admit that these call centers are not like robot control call centers. They're just regular call centers that they're like, oh, no, we retrained all of our call center employees to drive the robots. It's fine. Now, I worked at a call center. I wrote software that they had to use to make the calls. You don't want these people driving your robots. I promise you.
So what you're telling me is that next year as a plot for an episode of Black Mirror or Elementary or something is going to be the call center operator that murdered the guy with the delivery robot?
Well, think about it. You can't drive the robot unless you have the camera turned on, right? You have to see what's going on. So you have some random person in the call center roaming around outside your hotel room with a robot with a camera on it.
What could possibly go wrong? Alibaba, that's they're a Chinese company, I guess, but they do literally everything.
Yeah, well, they're like the Amazon over there, or is it eBay?
A little both, actually. Yeah. They do a little bit of eBay, and I mean they connect Chinese suppliers with Western demand. I don't know, that was a slogan.
They're big.
Yeah, their AI has apparently outgunned humans in a reading test. So there's a video to go with this. I don't know. I mean, this is not terribly surprising, in all honesty.
Well, it's reading comprehension. So the idea is They feed it random text. I think they used Wikipedia pages so that they could guarantee that it wasn't like pre-prepared, so they could be adapted to it. And it scored just slightly higher than a human, who that was their job, is to interpret text and answer questions. So they don't just read it and tell you about it. They read it. You ask them specific questions from the text that you think might be confusing, and the AI did better. It's funny, though, they mentioned that story after Alibaba had like rolled out. It's like, oh, this is a breakthrough. Microsoft beat them like 0.2 the next day. So Microsoft's AI is actually the best in the world right now.
Yeah, that's what we need, an arms race against AI. That totally won't bring about the apocalypse any sooner. Anyway, are you a radiologist? We want to hear from you in the comments, because if your hospital has upgraded your software lately, bad news, you might be looking for a job soon.
Now, we talked about this. How long ago was that?
That was about a year ago. It was almost a year.
Yeah. So was it, it was like tumors or something, right?
Yeah, tumor spotting. Now it's also dealing with broken bones and brittle bones and bone disorders and things like that from low resolution x-rays.
Yeah, things like hairline fractures and small damage to wrists and things like that, the AI was really good at. But it does mention that, and there were all like four other categories where the radiologists were still winners. But hey, that's a matter of time.
Yeah. Well, what's going to happen for the radiologists is that instead of having to go through, you know, I don't know how many x-rays you go through in a day, instead of going through 100 x-rays in a day, it's going to be like 1,000. And eventually, there's just going to be like a concentrated call center where like five radiologists show up and like 200 hospitals just send their stuff there.
Everything's going to be a call center in the future. All jobs will become call centers.
How cool would that be? It's like they can drive the x-ray machine remotely.
I don't think x-ray machines are mobile.
No, not yet. I mean, that's the future. That's the innovation.
Just come to your house, right?
Yeah.
The automated car drives up to your house, x-rays you, gives you a pizza, and, you know, you get your results right there.
What will we call it? Kaiser Permanente?
That's too complex for people. It's got to be one syllable and real catchy.
I'm imagining a bus that shows up and it's like, you know, it's tailored to your specific preferences. And so like the stripper bus shows up with a pizza and takes you to the x-ray center, and the robot just, you know, ferrets you through all the stuff and then sends you back and your insurance is billed. I mean, that's the future.
But are we talking human stripper or robot stripper?
Probably robot stripper, because nobody can afford to employ humans.
They're all working at the call centers.
Well, your robot bus driver's at a call center. It's just everybody's at a call center.
It's a bright future.
And then they do away with call centers by just having everybody work at home. So you never get any human interaction at all.
But there's not enough bandwidth, because the new broadband definition is one by one.
I'm pretty sure we just came up with a modern spin on an Asimov novel. Microsoft researchers have built a bot that draws what you tell it to, and it's impressively good.
Really amazing. I mean, that final bird looks really good. Now, we've talked about discriminators in the past. AI that uses discriminators, and that's what this is really cool, because it doesn't draw a really good bird at first. At first, it draws a really terrible bird. But the discriminator uses similar software to the image recognition. So it looks at it, and it's like, I'm only like 8% sure that's even a bird. So the other AI goes like, all right, I'll try again. And then when it gets to the point where it's like, I'm like 99% sure that's a bird, there you go. You've got your bird.
I don't know. This is something that borders on a hack, but is clever enough that is like, okay, maybe there is something emergent. There is some emergent property about this, because maybe an artistic person can tell us what the process is. Is that how they do it? Is like, do they start out and they just keep iterating? Does it work like that?
I mean, I don't think humans work that way.
That just seems like a hack.
Know, humans don't play Super Mario Brothers by failing 10 billion times and then figuring out what works.
Speak for yourself.
But the AI, you know, or like the chess playing robots, you don't play 40 billion games of chess in 24 hours in order to get good at it. So, yeah, you can't argue. Of course, I don't understand what good drawing pictures from verbal descriptions on demand, like, what does that do for us?
Adobe showed off some similar technology where they were taking really terrible video and the AI was just sort of filling in the missing details from the video. So, like, they zoomed into the video more than they should have, and they added more detail, or they cut something out of a scene, and the AI just sort of filled in behind it automatically.
So this is just going to be a way more complex Photoshop filter,
yeah,
is what you're telling me. Yeah. And we can begin to trust video sources less and less as time goes on.
The video, like, the dude, like, where Putin was running through his grocery list all those people he killed or whatever, was super convincing.
And that was almost a year ago.
Yeah.
So imagine where that's gone by now.
It's just mind-blowing. I don't know. I didn't believe this at first. So GM and Waymo have been reported to be in the lead in the driverless car race, with Tesla and Apple tied for last, which is mind-blowing. I would not think Tesla was super behind, but the article went on to explain that because they parted ways with the Israeli company, and they've sort of been forced to reinvent the wheel with Jim Keller, the guy from AMD, that they think they're dead last.
Also, I wasn't aware that Tesla doesn't use LiDAR.
Well, they don't have the hardware. They said that they're gonna fix it in software, but these people say that there's no way for them to do that.
NVIDIA said that. So that seems like a huge problem and something they're going to have to sort of throw away some stuff and start over.
Yeah, it is true that Elon Musk has said that the current shipping vehicles should be able to get a software upgrade for level 5 autonomy, which seems impossible based on what they're saying.
See, he makes a lot of claims that don't turn out to be true, or they turn out to be like 5 years late. So.
Or it's you're going to get an upgrade kit, a free upgrade kit later, where we just screw some stuff onto the front of your car, and then it looks kind of like the DeLorean from Back to the Future movies.
But yeah, apparently Waymo, and you don't hear nearly as much from Waymo, but apparently they are super, like, at this point, their problem, according to this article, is they've got the self-driving technology, now they have to figure out how to build cars.
The last thing that I saw from Waymo was that they got their computer system down to the size of a shoebox, including redundancies, but all of the sensors that they require is still very bulky for good sensors. And it's also to the point where it's like, okay, how do we deal with sensors in the rain and salt and cleaning the sensors? And it's like, do we put little windshield wipers on the sensors? How do we deal with this? Do we tell the operator to go clear the sensors? What do we do?
Climb out under the hood at 60 miles an hour and buff the rightmost sensor. Yeah, the other thing that a lot of people bring up, and this is a great question, is like, okay, self-driving cars work 85% of the time, but what about when you need to go on that one-lane road that, you know, it's switchbacks on a hill and it's treacherous and the car just doesn't know what to do? And okay, and let's go back a couple stories. Are you comfortable if your self-driving car at some point calls for help, not from you, but from a call center? I'm not comfortable with that.
Hello, sir. Yes, I would like for you to take out your phone. I have loaded an app onto your phone. You can now use your phone's accelerometer as a steering wheel. So I can just imagine sitting there with my phone. It's like, okay, that's just because it's like a racing game, right? Yeah. We've all played the mobile phone racing games.
Those don't go well,
no.
What I'm thinking about, they take over driving.
The accelerometer gets confused because you're in a moving vehicle trying to use the phone as a steering wheel. It's like,
I'm saying, like, they're at the call center and they're, you know, selling insurance. And then the red light goes off and they get up and they go over to the Logitech steering wheel and they take over your car.
Well, thanks to Ajit Pai, they're not going to have the bandwidth to get a smooth, steady signal.
They'll be a major corporation, so they'll get, you know.
They'll get their own special wireless network. I guess that's fine. In Bitcoin news this week, Bitcoin dropped below 10K for the first time since December.
I checked this morning. It was 11.4, I think.
Something like that, yeah. There's a lot of people that are saying this is the apocalypse because it's a 50% swing because we went from 10K to 20K, then back down to 10K. But I really don't see this as a big deal.
It's happened many times before. Bitcoin is very volatile. And in January, bad things almost always happen. Now, I will say as a cautionary note on top of that, we now have these futures markets, and that means big money can get in there and they can play. They can use margin, so they don't have to actually buy the Bitcoin. They don't have to have all that money. They can use debt. And generally, a lot of people believe for commodities, futures markets are heavily, heavily manipulated. And the robots are in there. So it could be that they've decided that Bitcoin is going to fail, and now it's going to fail.
It's also true that Chinese New Year is approaching, and that, you know, that's a large part of the Bitcoin economy comes from China and China-connected companies. So
also,
that may be part of it.
Also, China cracking down. Now, there was the Korean thing.
Oh, yeah.
Korea, a lot of people are saying that might not have had the impact that people thought. But Korea is sort of back and forth on, should we get rid of it? Should we allow it?
Mm-hmm. Now, this one, I think I missed this one somehow. The Bank of America has topped IBM and payments firms with the most blockchain patents.
Yeah, basically, Bank of America does not deal in Bitcoin futures. They are not touching it. But you can tell that the big institutions, including the central banks, see what blockchain is. Blockchain is, take Bitcoin and think about, okay, what if we, now that we know what's wrong with it, what if we fixed it? And what if we didn't make it these ICOs and these pre-mined things and we actually made something really good? It makes sense to do financial stuff that way. Of course, they're not looking for decentralized blockchain. They're looking for
federally controlled or full community privately controlled.
Yeah. But they see it for what it is, and they want to have patents and to have that, be ready for that in the future. So Bank of America is at the, they're in the lead. All the banks, though, are filing patents and trying to get ahead of the curve on this.
It's hard for me to imagine a world where, you know, anybody with a computer would be able to decode the labyrinth of like the HSBC money, drug laundering, weapons laundering money. It's like, you know, a 13-year-old with access to the internet, it's like, let's figure this out. And it's like, oh yeah, the president of HSBC personally traded lots and lots of cocaine for lots of arms. Here's the transaction.
But if it's your blockchain and you have full control of it,
you can just obfuscate that all you want?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like a good idea. Seems like that defeats the whole power to the people aspect of
which is why they won't get behind Bitcoin. They want their own version, which, you know, makes total sense.
Speaking of which, BitConnect has shut down. They said that it was harassment from regulators, but it looks like it may have been more than that.
Yeah, well, the...
And denial of service attacks and some other stuff.
But the reason people think that is because you, as of the writing of the story, this was the 18th, no one can make withdrawals. So they have, this was a lending platform. You lend, I might be wrong about this. The crypto people are the most pedantic. Let's in the comments. Like, people who are really passionate about crypto are hard to deal with. But you loan Bitcoin, and in exchange you get BCC tokens, Bitcoin Connect tokens. And some people are saying it's a Ponzi scheme. So some people have loans out there in Bitcoin that they apparently got BCC tokens for, but then they can't even cash those out.
Yeah, so the price of the BCC tokens has crashed. So the exchange said that they were going to return all the money for the loans somehow, so I guess they could float that, but that has not actually happened.
As of the 18th, and I didn't see any updates, so.
Nope.
Bad news if you're into that.
Yeah. Other really interesting Bitcoin news this week, there's this Bitcoin mining projections article, which we're not going to actually talk about almost all of the contents of the article. You might read that. But the really fascinating thing that came out of this that I'm sure will be written up in full articles next week is the quarterly TSMC earnings call said that they had done more business making custom ASICs for Bitcoin mining than all other things. Now, TSMC is the foundry that makes a ton of chips. And that may be related to why we're seeing a GPU shortage. Not because miners are buying all of the GPUs to mine altcoins, but because the actual fabrication process, at least at TSMC, is being monopolized by 16 nanometer ASIC production.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, of course, when you read this article, it talks about profitability and projections, and it runs numbers. But it runs all these numbers as if Bitcoin's worth $15,000, which is funny because
it's not.
Right after this article was published, those are no longer true. I don't know if it's even still profitable at these levels.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about it. If what you're saying is true, like, you know, back in the day when everybody was using GPUs, something bad happened in the crypto world. eBay got flooded with GPUs.
Yep.
But what are you can't use the ASICs. You can't go from ASIC back to GPU.
Nope.
So even if the cryptos crash, we're still looking at a shortage if this is true, because
the production capacity was never used to produce GPUs in the first place.
And those ASICs are going to be worthless. They have no value as an electronic device other than creating Bitcoin.
Now TSMC, like if I were a shareholder at TSMC, they could probably blend their production portfolio with this type of thing for cryptocurrencies. But in terms of like becoming dependent on that revenue stream, I would try to steer clear of that. It's like, oh yeah, as long as that's just gravy, that sounds great.
Well, but that would support the theory because they're not saying, oh, look at all this demand. Let's build new foundries.
Yeah.
They're simply giving all the supply to the highest bidder, which again makes sense. And it would be suicidal to ramp up production on something as volatile and risky as Bitcoin.
Now, in part, this is just a guess from us. We may be completely wrong about that. Nobody has actually done any real investigation of this. I just thought it was mind-blowing on TSMC's earnings call that it was like, yeah, we're doing a lot. Because that's not historically been true of their foundry in production. So, I don't know. I'm sure there'll be an article soon.
If you were a shareholder, wouldn't you be pissed if they weren't doing that? If they came to you and they were like, well, we've got these really high bidders, but you know what? Ethically, we just can't do business with them.
Well, were they producing? I mean, I don't understand why. Like, they should do what flash production facilities do, which is keep, like, there hasn't really been a flash production facility that has really and truly shut down. Sometimes the equipment shifts geographical location, but like the first generation flash production that was kind of flaky and shitty, that never really went offline. It's still producing flash. And so it should probably be like that with silicon wafer production, if there's any way to do that. I mean, speaking of somebody that knows nothing about that industry entirely, but it's like, okay, we're going to bring our 60 nanometer foundry online, leave the 20 nanometer production facility wherever it is and just build new. I guess it doesn't work that way with silicon the way that it does with flash memory, but those flash memory facilities that are producing, you know, quote unquote, inferior flash memory, it's still getting used in children's toys, shitty phones. I mean, just all kinds of stuff.
Well, but that's... it's not going to help anybody play Battlefield 1, you know, the old crap.
Yeah.
Another interesting note, we didn't add it because it's not really a story, but if you want an ant miner, you can now buy one from Walmart.com. Walmart is selling ASICs.
Walmart is now selling tulip bulbs.
This might be the tipping point. You know, if you're looking for a high watermark, Walmart is selling $8,000 ASICs.
For the extra pedantic, because we know it's coming, it's technically not Walmart selling it. It's a Walmart supplier. That's because, you know, it's like they got the Amazon store thing, they got the Walmart store thing. But you can go on Walmart.com and...
yeah, yeah. That's still a level of awareness that is exponentially larger than it was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. U.S. has warned investors, the U.S. investors, to avoid Venezuela's petro cryptocurrency. So Venezuela, things are bad in Venezuela. Yeah. And they've apparently launched their own state-controlled cryptocurrency for whatever reason. Stay away from it.
They've hyperinflated the regular currency, but they're not saying stay away from it because it's a bad investment. They're saying stay away from it because we have sanctions against them, and that's probably illegal. So,
but it's also a bad investment. Let me tell you.
Probably, yeah.
Also, in other news, the iPhone X may be discontinued this year if the sales continue to be as lukewarm as they have been.
They got two new ones. Larger form factor on the horizon. Now, usually Apple keeps its old devices and sells them just for people who aren't willing to pay the new prices, because those new ones, if they're larger, you can imagine they're going to be more expensive.
$1,000.
So, but this time around, they're thinking maybe even just drop it all together, force you into one of either the 6.1 or the 6.5 inch model that's coming in 2018.
I don't even know why this is a thing.
Because people got to have it. Got to catch them all.
Got to. The Animoji are really disturbing. I don't know. Did you guys hear the one about the Hawaii missile alert where it was like incoming ballistic missile, take shelter, this is not a drill? Well, they were on the news as a result of that. This story is not about that. This story is about how in this press photo, you can actually see the password to the system that issues missile alerts on that post-it note right there.
Now, they actually... downplayed it, and they're like, this is not a system that's open to the internet, and it's a local thing running on that computer only, and it's not a risk, and blah blah blah. But yeah, password on a post-it note.
You gotta at least put it on a post-it note under the keyboard. I mean, come on.
and to like be so comfortable with it that you don't think, like, you look over your desk and it's like, all right, do I have any stains or pornography or anything laying around for the news cameras? Post a note with a password. Let me just pull that off for the press photo.
Oops. Maybe it's like some intern's going to get in there and accidentally issue another missile alert just for the lulls. So speaking of things that are quintessentially Japan, their train tracks, at least in some sections, now bark and snort to scare deer.
Yeah, they hit a lot of deer in Japan with these trains. And they've figured out that dogs barking chase away the deer. Now, here's the funny thing, the best thing about this article. The reason the deer are at the train tracks is because they need iron in their diet. And the iron filings from the rails, from the trains going over the rails, the deer apparently just lick the rails and get iron in their diet.
So like salt lick, except iron. It's iron lick. Yeah.
Anyway, these trains bark like dogs near deer busy areas, and they claim it's cut down by 50%.
I thought there was a study a couple of years ago that said that your dietary cravings had nothing to do with your nutritional needs.
Maybe Japanese rails are just delicious. I don't know.
Iron. I don't know. That's just... It seems like the deer, once they get used to it, would not be scared about it anymore. But I guess if you always got the threat of a dog attack, maybe...
Well, they probably do get attacked by dogs occasionally. So they have that, you know, the real mixed in with the fake. Or maybe it'll just make them complacent about real dog attacks.
We'll know soon enough. Japan, let us know. How long before Hatsune Miku is defending the train tracks?
I think the deer would be attracted to her.
Maybe. I mean, maybe not. Maybe the deer could be conditioned.
It would be like a Cinderella type deal. The forest creatures love her.
The Swedish contraceptive app Natural Cycles has been blamed for a string of unwanted pregnancies in the UK. So, yeah, if you use this app, apparently, you just use the app and it tells you when you can have sex.
Based on your body temperature.
And apparently that's good.
Now, I included this story. I saw the headline. I thought, oh, that'll be funny. But you read the story, it's 93% accurate when used normally, typically, as they say, 99% when used perfectly. Which is exactly the same as birth control pills.
Yeah.
So this thing might actually work.
It's kind of mind-blowing. But, yeah, there was some pregnancies. What was it? 6.9% or something like that?
Yeah, but it's got a lot of users. So they talked about how as the user base increases, that's definitely going to keep going up. And simply the fact that people don't use birth control correctly 100% of the time. And by the nature of it, that one time that you screw up is all it takes. So, I don't know. I don't know if I would trust such a monumental thing to an app, but...
It's hard to imagine an app working for that, but okay. I mean, I guess.
If it does work, that's pretty cool.
I don't know. YouTube has started removing videos of people eating Tide laundry pods. Like, I saw this last week, and I just don't get why...
The Tide Pod Challenge.
Like, I just...
I like how it's a challenge. What's the challenge? But yeah, people are eating Tide Pods, and no one can really figure out why. But don't. You shouldn't do that. I can't... They do look delicious.
Do they, though? I mean, I don't think they do.
Oh, yeah.
They look like terrible hard candy that will break your teeth out.
Oh, but they're liquid inside. So you can sort of see that. And I got those blended colors. I think they look delicious, but I am aware enough of the world to know that there's soap in there.
Do you think that there is a parent in America who would create a situation that their child would eat the laundry pod in hopes that they could retire a multimillionaire?
Oh, yeah. You know what I found out about Tide? You know how you have like the Gucci and the top dollar brands, and you have the Chinese knockoffs, and that's a big deal. Tide is one of the most counterfeited things in the world. People just mix up some soap, some regular soap, and buy those bottles. You can buy them from China, surprising. And then you can buy the fake labels and sell it for top dollar.
Wow, surprising. I think I saw that in New York, actually. There were some people selling Tide out of the back of a van.
Well, the other way you do it is you get your food stamps, because you can buy Tide.
And then convert it to currency?
Right, yeah.
I'm going to buy the Tide so that I can then buy the meth or whatever. I don't know. Circling back to the Hawaii story for a minute, there was an interesting report from a very popular website about a drop in traffic surrounding the Hawaiian Missile Crisis. They keep detailed stats on how often their users use the site and their outgoing traffic rates and things like that. And there was definitely a measurable drop in internet traffic as it related to the Hawaiian Missile Crisis. That website was Pornhub.
So you can see the pink or the red there. The exclamation point is the actual alert itself, and people immediately logged off at Pornhub. But if, and then I think about 15 minutes after the all clear was given, so you figure it takes, you know, that 15 minutes for everybody to find out about it
and calm down.
48% increase in the, now the baseline there is average traffic for this time of year in Hawaii.
Yeah.
So yeah, people.
Wow, that's definitely measurable.
Oh yeah. So of course, a lot more people walked away, then came back 15 minutes later and was like, "Okay, everything's clear. Let's get back to our usual schedule here."
I would like to know what the absolute numbers are. Like, did the traffic drop to zero in Hawaii, or were there some people that just powered right through that?
Negative 77%. So, you know, there was 23% of people were just like, you know what? Nothing I can do about this.
There goes our monetization. We would appreciate it if you sign up on Patreon. Thank you.
Well, we didn't say what they were doing. Could be doing research.
Well, there are things on Pornhub like movies and
The
documentaries.
The Hamilton play was on there.
Hamilton, yeah.
A lot of Disney movies, although the ads are still pornographic.
Yeah, that's a little problematic. It's like SpongeBob, but then you get...
But it's
not good.
It is very fascinating how those people, because they got the first warning, a lot of people didn't believe. But then the klaxons went off and they were like, oh, wait, this is it. And how people describe their reaction... I think it's a good sign that there was no, like, Mad Max-style looting and raping. Yeah.
So what you're saying is this first, you know, drop here was the alert, and then people were like, I'm not going to take this seriously. So they sort of start to come back, and then it was like, well, maybe this is a thing. And then this is where the klaxons went off. It's like somewhere in here where this, you know, this precipitous drop.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think it's a good – I think people were like, okay – I'm going to try to be with my loved ones, or maybe I'm going to take some preparedness steps. And people didn't just go into a crazy, hysterical fit. At least most people.
Do people have basements in Hawaii?
I don't know what the building style is there. Well, they have hurricanes a lot, so I'm sure they have some sort of shelter.
I wonder if people will start looking into the whole like buried shelter in their backyard or basements or
things.
I
saw a headline that Japan issued a fake nuke warning the week after that.
I wonder if the Freakonomics guys would look into that. It's like, we elect the president that we have. Some words are exchanged between our president and North Korea. Sales of houses with basements go up.
Well, the Cold War would have all the data we need for that, right?
Especially on the West Coast. I don't know if that level of detail was kept during the Cold War that we could ferret that out.
They also released this week, again, not a story we covered, but... confirmed Russia has a torpedo for coastal nuking.
It is twice as big as Tsar Bomba.
So they can basically just wipe out the entire East Coast in a retaliatory strike underwater.
100 million megatons.
And the missile shield doesn't account for it underwater.
No.
All right, everybody, sleep tight. That's the end of the news.
See you later. See you next week. Thanks.